Veterans Radio is dedicated to all the men and women who have served or are currently serving in the armed forces of the United States of America. Today's Veterans Radio is brought to you by U.S. Wings. U.S. Wings is a U.S. manufacturer of the finest quality military leather flight jackets and much, much more. For more information, go to uswings.com. And the Marine Scholars Program at Ave Maria University. Go to avemaria.edu for more information about this great scholarship opportunity. And finally, for our local people, the Village Kitchen Restaurant located in the Maple Village Shopping Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Go to the Village Kitchen and tell them that you heard about them on Veterans Radio, and you'll receive 10% off your entire meal.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Fromberg.
And good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. We're so excited to be here, and we're so excited to have you listening to us around the world. We want to say good morning to all of our service members here locally and also, as I mentioned, around the world. Today's program is especially for you, and it's for your families also. We're going to be talking about PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, and suicide. The number of suicides for returning troops is escalating at an astronomical number. And so we're going to be talking about that today with two of our guests. Here in the studio with me is Eric Amberg, a PhD who practices neuropsychology here in Ann Arbor. And joining us on the line will be Jerry Yellen, a World War II fighter pilot who fought his own demons for 30 years until he learned about transcendental meditation. And so we're going to be talking about those alternative treatments to this problem of PTSD and how we're going to be able to help out our veterans as they're coming home, not only from the current conflicts, but also from the past. Many Vietnam veterans, even World War II and Korea and so forth, are still struggling with these demons that I like to call them. And so we're going to have some opportunities to talk about that today on Veterans Radio. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. But before we do that, there's a program going on here in the Detroit area by one of our local mortgage lenders, and I want to bring on from them is as our guest for the morning, and that's Michelle Salvatore. And Michelle is the director of public relations, I believe, and hiring for Quicken Loans. And Quicken Loans in Detroit is holding a job fair next weekend, and there's a special thing about it. Michelle, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. So tell me what Quicken Loans is up to.
So we are actually having a career fair on Saturday, April 28th. It's at the CompuWare building downtown Detroit. And from 10 till 11, we'll be meeting with U.S. veterans and members of military families. It's just another way that we'd like to recognize and support the service of active members of the armed forces, the veterans, and the families, and all of those who have served in our nation.
Well, I think this is a great opportunity to for some veterans that are looking for work, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, from the current conflicts. Especially in Michigan, there are a lot of people looking for work, and the idea that they can come down a little bit earlier than the regular population, I think, will definitely be to their benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited about it.
Is there anything that they should bring along with them?
I would say make sure you have a couple copies of your resume. Our recruiters are ready to go. We're hoping to start extending offers on the spot. So they'll actually even be able to talk to some of the hiring leaders for the different areas of the company. It's truly a career fair like they've really never seen. It's not, the typical career fair where you go in and there's lots of companies and people kind of sitting behind a table. This is interaction with our team leaders right there on site in our building talking about positions that they are hiring for. So they're kind of having a mini interview right then and there, and then they talk to a recruiter. It's really a lot of fun and really gets us involved with everybody who's there.
What kind of job opportunities are you talking about?
all areas of the company, technology, operations, mortgage banking, really anything that you can think of that would a normal company would hire for. There is really more to Quicken Loans than what most people think. Most people think of us only as a mortgage company that all we do is sell loans. And the reality is that there's really so much more to us. We're a technology company. We're a marketing company. We're really a people company. We really give back to our clients. We're looking for individuals who are really passionate to and motivated to help and learn and make a difference, both with Quicken Loans and with their clients.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity for everybody in the Detroit area, but especially for veterans. So, again, that is – give me the date and the time again, please, Michelle.
Absolutely. It's Saturday, April 28th in the CompuWare building at 1050 Woodward Avenue. And from 10 to 11, we'll be meeting with U.S. veterans and members of military families. And if they want to apply online, they can go to quickenloanscareers.com, or you can always reach out to us directly on our 800 number. It's 1-800-411-JOBS.
Okay. Michelle Salvador of Quicken Loans. Next Saturday, you guys out there, men and women, there's an opportunity for you to go on down to Detroit, to CompuWare Center. Sounds like a good opportunity. Thank you so very much, Michelle, and good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you. All right. So those of you out here that are looking for work, head on down to the CompuWare Center and Quicken Loans. And I was just reading their information that they sent me. It says one of the best companies to work for. So good luck to all of you out there. We're going to be taking a break right now, and then we're going to be coming back, and we're going to be talking with Jerry Yellen about transcendental meditation and ways that we can help you or a family member deal with some of their issues that they brought back with them from their service around the world. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and I just wanted to read a headline from the New York Times from last Sunday. It says, an American soldier dies every day and a half on average in Iraq and Afghanistan. Veterans kill themselves at the rate of one every 80 minutes. More than 6,500 veteran suicides are logged every year, more than the total number of soldiers killed in Afghanistan and Iraq combined since those wars began. This is a subject that we feel is very important to talk about. The VA just came out with another announcement later last week, and that is that the Department of Veterans Affairs says it's increasing its staff of mental health workers by roughly 1,900. The VA secretary announced the plan on Thursday, saying that the government must make sure all veterans have adequate access to health care. The department plans to add roughly 1,600 clinicians and about 300 support staff to an existing mental health staff of roughly 20,000. The department says it'll begin recruiting immediately. We're not going to talk about traditional treatment for PTSD and TBI today. We're going to be talking what I call about alternative treatments. And we've got two guests joining me in the studio right now. Is Dr. Eric Amberg, who's a PhD who practices neuropsychology here in Ann Arbor. And Dr. Amberg, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. Well, nice to be here.
And joining me on the line right now also is from Fairfield, Iowa, is Jerry Yellen. And Jerry is a World War II fighter pilot who had his own problems after World War II. And for 30 years, until he discovered transcendental meditation, he finally found something that helped him out. And Jerry, I want to welcome you back to Veterans Radio.
Nice to be here, Dale. Thank you.
I wanted to remind our audience that we talked with Jerry, I guess it was 2 years ago now. Jerry is a writer, and I met him through the Military Writers Society. And he wrote a story about his experiences at Iwo Jima and also about his experiences dealing with his PTSD. And he's got a new book out, which I have not had the opportunity to read, and I hate to admit that, but it's entitled The Resilient Warrior. And Jerry, I want you to kind of tell me a little bit about how you got involved with TM.
Well, I was enlisted in the Army Air Corps 2 months after Pearl Harbor. At the age of 18, I graduated from flying school at the age of 19 as a fighter pilot, and joined the 78th Fighter Squadron in Hawaii. And on March 7, 1945, I flew a P-51 onto Iwo Jima. I saw the remnants of 28,000 bodies and 90,000 people fighting on 8 square miles of land. Flew 19 missions over Japan, had a leadership position, shot down 4 Japanese airplanes. And one day, the war ended, and I came home, and I had nothing. I didn't have an airplane. I didn't have any buddies. I didn't have any purpose in life. I didn't have any mission to do. And I didn't have any education or background, and I had an addictive behavior for 30 years. And then my wife learned Transcendental Meditation, and I learned Transcendental Meditation, and I got my life back. It's not an alternative medical procedure. It's not an alternative for stress. It's a 5,000-year-old discipline that warriors have used for years, for 5,000 years. And in 2010, a young friend of mine, committed suicide. And I started Operation Warrior Wellness with the David Lynch Foundation. And we're helping veterans all over the United States learn Transcendental Meditation. You know, we all know what a computer is. We all know that if you have a virus in a computer, you get a program, and that program takes away the virus. Well, stress is the virus of the operating system of the mind, the brain, and stress causes violent behavior and depression and aggressiveness and despair and suicide. And Transcendental Meditation reduces stress. That's about the best thing I can say. We're in a national crisis right at this moment. On May 3rd, the Deputy Secretary of the Veterans Administration, who has been a meditator for 30 years and is a TM teacher, is going to come out of his closet along with Admiral Richard Snyder, who is the president of Norwich University, one of the 6 non-government affiliated military schools, and they're going to announce the results of what the cadets do who meditate and what the cadets do that don't meditate at Norwich University. So it's Transcendental Meditation will be in the forefront, because now Oprah Winfrey has 400 of her people doing TM as a group. Dr. Oz has 200 people now. He's coming out with a video and programs asking companies to learn TM to make their companies better. And we have major, major, major funding for this program across the country. Transcendental Meditation is a reliever of stress. Stress is caused by war. It's going to get worse than 6,500 suicides a year in the coming years. We have a product. The government is spending $15 to $18 billion a year on antipsychotic and antidepressant drugs that don't work. And for $1,000, one time, one fee, veterans and others, their spouses, can learn Transcendental Meditation. And if we have enough funds, we give them scholarships. And anybody who wants to contribute to scholarships, $10 a month or $50 a month or whatever, we pay for the veterans and their spouses to learn Transcendental Meditation on a national basis.
It sounds like a great program, Jerry, and it's Operation Warrior Wellness, and you can just go to their website, which is operationwarriorwellness.org, and it's an encyclopedia of information on there to help people find out where the classes are available, what direction that you're going in and trying to raise awareness of this, and also gives you the opportunity to support them. It's interesting that what you were talking about, and I was talking with Dr. Amberg earlier this morning about the way that they traditionally treat PTSD is, in a lot of cases that they just throw drugs at you.
That's it.
And, and that ends up, masking, I think, a lot of the real problems that these men and women are having. And that what you're doing and what Dr. Amberg is going to talk about later on is that you're looking at it from the entire body, not just a mental issue.
Yeah, it's a mind-body thing. But I was in Camp Pendleton on Wednesday. I spoke to 75 or 80 members of a Wounded Warrior Battalion at Camp Pendleton. All of these guys have mental wounds and physical wounds. And we're going to start a whole group of people at Camp Pendleton. This is big stuff. It's been around for a long time. We have 30, 40,000, 50,000 people who can teach Transcendental Meditation all over the country. We make it easy. It's 5 hours or 6 hours of instruction over a period of 4 or 5 days. And it's something that you have for yourself. Everybody knows what a zone experience is in athletics. That's not what you think, it's how you think. Transcendental Meditation is not a psychology or a or a religion or a belief system. It's a tool of how the brain works, how the brain thinks, and you learn to get into the zone 20 minutes a day, twice a day, and you get the relief from the stress that takes away all of the horrible addictive things, including alcohol and drugs and other addictions. So it works. That's all I can say is that it works. All the other modalities have side effects. Transcendental Meditation only makes you a better person, better relationships with your families, better relationships with yourself, better relationship with your children. And it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's just a no-brainer. 20 minutes a day, twice a day, you go from the surface level of thought to the deeper level of thought, and you get relief from stress. Scientifically, $28 million worth of research by the National Institute of Health over the last 30 years. The science is there. The knowledge is there. Our willingness to do this is there. And we can help. Anybody wants to get in touch with me, just go to OperationWarriorWellness.org. Give me a name. Give me a place. We'll get somebody in touch with you. And if we can give you a scholarship, we will.
Well, I think that's a great opportunity, Jerry. And just to remind everybody that you can give us a call today. If you have a question, just call us here at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. I want to bring Dr. Amberg on here for a minute to talk about a little bit of your treatment, and I'm going to strike the word alternative from my vocabulary for a while, but you are doing something also that involves the entire body and not just the mental part. So could you kind of explain what it is that you're doing?
Well, what we have is an integrative medical approach that looks at the body's system, recognizing that when people experience trauma, every part of their being is affected. It's in medicine we have specialties like neurology and endocrinology and immunology and cardiology. Without the recognition that all of these systems are always in constant communication, and trauma is like dropping a boulder into the water and seeing everything affected. So it's really a three-part area of integrative medicine. One part is biology. The second part involves what we refer to as the gift that we all have, or the DNA imperative, that we have to achieve a direction and a purpose in life. And that in order to do that, we have to recognize that we do have a gift, and it does have to become workable. If we're involved in combat for a prolonged period of time, we get waylaid, and we don't achieve that purpose, and we get stuck. in a place that goes round and round like a broken record. The third part of it is the spirituality part, and that people have lost contact with their inner spirit or life force or soul. And what we've just been hearing about is how do we make contact with that spiritual component, regardless of what we refer to it as. And so if we do it with TM or other forms of spirituality, we are coming in contact with that life force that is essential for our survival and our sense of well-being.
Well, how would you, when we were talking earlier, you went through the VA system. I mean, you worked through the VA system. So can you kind of tell me how you came to this idea of, you know, what you want to do?
Well, on a previous broadcast, we had talked about the notion that people suffer. And there was one gentleman that I had known at the VA who had significant PTSD since World War II, and it was at Normandy, and he never broke loose of it. Again, that broken record went round and round. His stress was there, his depression was there, but he also had the DNA mandate. This was the sense of imperative that we all have a uniqueness within us that allows us to achieve a state of self-realization or actualization. Some of us are geared towards a carpentry, some may be mechanics, some may be medicine, maybe some lore, that makes us feel alive and gives us purpose. This gentleman had carpentry, and so when we introduced him to the things that he really felt positive about before enlisting and got back to it, that was a great relief for him. He got involved with his spirit also at the same time. And within 3 to 5 months, his PTSD became highly manageable, and he was able to be discharged from a place that he had been for probably 30 years.
You talk about, you know, as I mentioned, you have worked in the VA system, and that you were more of a traditional psychiatrist, prior to this enlightenment, I guess you could say, that you went through, and that's continuing. I mean, if we're going to hire 1,600 more technicians and clinicians and so forth, it sounds like it's going to be more of the same.
Yeah, what happens with PTSD is that the part of the brain that deals with survival, called the amygdala, and the part of the brain that deals with memory, called the hippocampus, become locked in place. And it doesn't take much for the system to keep on going round and round and round. If all we do is counseling, then all we're doing is talking about sensory impressions, and we're not dealing with the other things that are going on below the surface. We have in place a way of measuring biologically how the system has become aberrant, how it's become awry. And we can look at those numbers and say, yeah, these people are very high in adrenaline-releasing hormones that puts them at risk for homicide or suicide. Otherwise, it's just personal testimony. And we can't deal with that level of fluctuation simply by talking about it or, as we had talked about earlier, that giving medications to subdue it, but rather than to treat the process of what's going on below the surface. 90% of what we are is below the surface and below our awareness, and that's where the trauma lies. And certainly things like TM can help us to move the spirituality into the foreground and the biology into the background, but the biology still exists, and we need to address the three-part process of dealing with this.
You mentioned earlier when we were talking about how a simple blood test, I don't know how simple it is in my mind, a simple blood test can show these different levels of whatever they're called to our audience out there. You know, we're trying to keep it simple so I can understand it too.
Right.
Is that by measuring these different things
levels
inside of our blood that you can determine some of the issues that might be going on there?
That's correct. There are areas that are measurable that will show depletion, which is what happens when we're doing something over and over and over again. We get depleted. Other areas are agitated, and we look at ratios of one system compared to another. We can say that this person is at high risk. We can flag this person as soon as they come back from deployment and say, look, we need to talk about some things that are going on, which may even be below the awareness of the individual. The person might not even be aware of stress that he's under. He may not be aware of the fact that he's also in a great deal of pain but that's not being addressed because, quote, we defined it as a mental disorder. There are so many things that are going on below the surface that we have to come to the foreground with so that these high numbers of suicide and people who are brought before the Veterans Court for homicide or things like that can be properly addressed.
Well, you mentioned, you know, that...
Dale, can I interject
for
a minute?
Sure, go right ahead, Jerry.
You know, psychology and psychiatry requires the complete attention of the patient and the cooperation of the patient. We know that there are 500,000 people in the military suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. The VA doesn't have enough people to treat it. We got started in Camp Pendleton because the psychology department called the Marine Counseling Service and the Deployment Service had a number of their counselors see the effects of Transcendental Meditation. Transcendental Meditation is something that you have for yourself. It doesn't require any visit to anybody. It doesn't require your cooperation with a psychologist. It just requires you to sit quietly, to learn a word called a mantra that has no meaning, and how to use that word to get into the deeper silences of self. And that silence of self is a healing power. Not spiritual, it's not biological, it's not anything other than self-help for the individual. It doesn't require you to talk to anybody, it doesn't require you to take any medication, it doesn't require you to do anything but to sit still for 20 minutes a day and meditate. It's the only thing that I know of that helped me. I had no soul for 30 years. I was married. I had 4 children. But I had an addictive behavior. I played golf 5, 6, 7 days a week. That was my runaway thing. It was my alcohol. It was my marijuana. It was my heroin. It was my addictive behavior. Couldn't pass a golf course, just like a guy who drinks can't pass a bar. And Transcendental Meditation made me into a better human being. 20 minutes a day, twice a day, sitting quietly and getting in touch with myself from the deepest level of self, my own consciousness. And we can teach this for $1,000 all over the country. We don't have to retrain anybody. We've got the people are in place. The willingness is in place. We don't have all the funding we need, but we're working on that.
Well,
big time.
It sounds as though there are a lot of different things going on out there, and that's what's so fascinating to me. You mentioned earlier, Jerry, that there were some people at the VA that, as you put it, they were going to come out supporting TM, and that it was it's kind of interesting to know that the VA itself is willing to look at these different types of treatment for people, and that if, as you mentioned, that they can just help us out, I think it's going to be incredible. And I know we're coming up on a break here, and how much time? 2. Okay, I got about a minute and a half as I look at my clock. I need you to just slide over to the a little bit so I can see it. Anyway. We're talking about different types of treatment here. We're talking about Transcendental Meditation. We're talking about physical treatment for emotional problems. We had a caller. Well, actually, both of you kind of touched on this, but I'm going to ask back to you, Dr. Emery. We've only got about a minute, and I know we won't be able to. I'm going to hold this till we get to the other side of our break, I think. We're talking with Dr. Eric Emberg, and we're talking with Jerry Yellen about different treatments for PTSD, traumatic brain injury, and how you come to peace with yourself. And I think that's something that's really important. And if you want to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call here at Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825. So make sure that you do that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Chaplain Joseph O'Callaghan administered to the wounded and dying led firefighting crews, and directed the jettisoning of live ammunition from his stricken ship. Details after this.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
O'Callaghan was serving as chaplain on board the USS Franklin when that vessel was fiercely attacked by enemy Japanese aircraft. Calmly braving the barriers of fire and twisted metal to aid his men and his ship, O'Callaghan groped his way through smoke-filled quarters to the open flight deck and into the midst of violently exploding bombs, shells, rockets, and other armament. With the ship rocked by incessant explosions, with debris and fragments raining down and fires raging in ever-increasing fury, he ministered to the wounded and dying, comforting and encouraging men of all faiths. He organized and led firefighting crews into the blazing inferno on the flight deck. He directed the jettisoning of live ammunition and the flooding of the magazine. He manned a hose to cool hot armed bombs rolling dangerously on the listing deck, continuing his efforts despite searing, suffocating smoke which forced men to fall back gasping. O'Callaghan inspired the officers and men of the Franklin to fight heroically and with profound faith in the face of almost certain death and to return their stricken ship to port. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
And we are back on Veterans Radio today, and we're talking about PTSD and trying to eliminate some of the suicides that are going on with our returning troops and, of course, our veterans from previous conflicts, because the numbers are just astronomical. And again, I want to read from the New York Times that just said that more than 6,500 veteran suicides are logged every year. Every year. And that's more than the total number of soldiers killed in Afghanistan and Iraq combined since these wars began. And we're talking with Dr. Eric Amberg and with Jerry Yellen about different types of treatments that are available to help people cope with the post-traumatic stress. And we had a question from one of our listeners, and I'm going to address this to you, Dr. Amberg, first. And it, in essence, was, what is your spirituality? And I don't want to get into the religion part of it, but, you know, you mentioned that you thought that spirituality was really important as part of this treatment.
Yeah, well, if we look at what the Bible talks about as the body being a temple, and that temple being very exquisitely designed and integrated, that we have to recognize that whether we are spiritual or even one has physics as a notion, that spirituality is an extremely important part of what we are. It's something that we can't define very well. Is it life force? Is it soul? But it is something that's totally integrated in terms of what the body does. And if we leave that piece out, then we're just dealing with biology, which is only one third of the mm-hmm. situation.
Jerry, how about your relationship with spirituality?
Well, that's a loaded question.
I know, and I'm sorry to do that with you.
Here's what I believe. Here's what I've been led to believe by my life experiences. I fought the Japanese. The Japanese were my hated enemy. I watched bombers, thousands of bombers, drop thousands, hundreds of thousands of tons of bombs on Japan. Not once did I ever think that there were human beings on the ground. They were Japanese. I saw the remnants of a fight on Iwo Jima, where 7,000 Marines, I saw the body parts, I saw 21,000 body parts from Japanese, and for 30 years I hated them. And then I learned Transcendental Meditation in 1975, and then in 1983 I was asked to go to Japan, and I never wanted to go to Japan, not a place to visit, not human beings. My wife, Helene, wanted to go to Japan. We went to Japan. We were in Kyoto, and she said, Robert would really love Japan. Robert was the youngest of our four sons. He was a senior at San Diego State University. So we gave him a homestay visit of 16 days, and he went to Japan in 1983. Graduated graduated college in 1984, didn't know what he wanted to do. So he took a year to teach Japanese, to teach the English in Japan. 1 year contract. That he went in 1984. He hasn't come back yet. He met and married the daughter of a kamikaze pilot who lived through the war because he was sent to China and didn't have any missions over there. I have three Japanese grandchildren. Three. One 22, one 20, and one 16. They're my family. Their background, their religion, their culture, completely different than mine. They are my family. I've come to the conclusion that all human beings are exactly the same. So I have no belief in a higher power of a religion. I have a belief that we are all part of nature. We're important to the natural world. We all make babies the same way, and that's been going on for since human beings came into life. We all have the same operating system. If some baby is born in China of two Chinese parents and is raised in America and takes on the culture, the language, the dress, the education of America, might look Chinese, might be Chinese by birth, but he's American. And all of us are exactly the same. If you take away some of the things that we are going on today, religious-wise, you'll find that we as human beings are all exactly the same. We need three things in our lives: something to do, someone to love, and something to look forward to. That's all we need. We all need food. We all need sleep. We all have sexual desires because that's nature telling us we have to propagate. That's the only purpose of our life, is to recreate ourselves. So I'm not lecturing now, that I am an individual who's part, not of a religion, but a part of the entire world, part of nature. And that's the way I live. That's the way I feel. Spirituality, I'm a very, very, very spiritual person. I've written several books about that. One of them is called The Letter. Another is called The Blackened Canteen. And The Blackened Canteen is a story of 23 Americans who were killed on June 20th, 1945 in a mid-air collision over Japan in two B-29s. And a Japanese man, Hiroya Saga, buried these guys in a common grave next to the 2,000 citizens that the bombers killed. And he did that because he believed that we keep coming back as we die. And if you didn't have a proper burial, these guys would come back as warriors again and again and again. That's a belief system. I don't have that belief system. What I believe is this: those who perform acts of kindness without expectation of reward receive the greatest reward of all, immortality. It isn't about doing good for getting something. It's about doing good because it's the right thing to do. That's my spirituality.
That's an admirable spirituality, Jerry. Thank you. You're listening to Veterans Radio here, and if you've got a comment that you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call at 877-573-7825. I want to go back to you, Dr. Amberg, about you talked earlier when at breakfast we were talking about when people go into the hospital or get home from overseas, they kind of, if they're hurt, they go through two doors. One door is physical and the other door is mental.
That's correct.
And that you think that everybody should be going through the physical door.
That's correct.
And I wanted you to kind of, in layman's terms, so that we can all understand it, Jerry mentioned something about everybody being the same, basically. And there's a conversation that I heard, or a speech I heard by a brain doctor, which obviously is not working for me right now, neurosurgeon. And he's talking about when he opens up the brain to work on whatever, he says they're all the same. Because he can't tell if they come from China, America, wherever it happens to be. And I think that sounded like something that you were talking about, that we're all... ideally, we are all wired the same, but sometimes those wires get short out, and that results in some problems.
That's correct. Because when we have trauma, the balance of what we are is disrupted chemically, electrically, organ-wise. And so when we have trauma, it's all physical. Now, as I said before, what we refer to as the mental is just the upper layer of what the brain is processing. And so we call it mental, but it's still a processing system that's going on in the brain that's really revealing all of what's going on below the levels of awareness. So when we're talking about biology, we're talking about the fact that we all have biological systems that are in certain cases of balance or imbalance, but on the trauma, it really moves out of balance. And so that's why we hurt. That's why we suffer. There are different ways of addressing it, but we should not be addressing it as a mental or physical. And that's a danger we do. If we create the idea that this is a mental disorder, this is a physical disorder, then we're taking the body's system and saying, well, this is not real, this is imaginary, and this is real, so we have to treat it differently. If we were to give everyone the respect of recognizing that all individuals have biological conditions that need to be addressed, and of course, meditation is a great way of addressing it because it takes that component and moves it into the foreground and takes the biology and moves it more into the background. But they all have to be addressed or otherwise these addictions are still present.
Well, you know, I've always been a fan of Shakespeare, and he's always talking about these humors, you know, that they're in ill humor or their humors are out of balance. And it sounds like that's something that you were talking about. We've had Rick Briggs on our program in the past, and he's with the Traumatic Brain Injury Association, I think it is, of Michigan.
Yes.
And we've talked about that. You know, so many of the symptoms of TBI are similar to PTSD.
That's
correct. Or it sounds like there is a combination of the two going on there. And you have mentioned that the idea is that if we can treat them physically, many of those post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms will go away.
Yeah, artificially we create these terms like PTSD, TBI. Instead of just looking at one issue, the body system has gone aberrant. And if we can recognize where the changes have occurred and address them, then a great deal of relief can occur because now the person who has experiencing this is not going to sit down and talk about problems, but they're going to be part of a program that teaches them how they need to deal with this aberrant system, much the same way as we teach a diabetic how to deal with diabetes. Diet-wise and other kinds of lifestyle changes have to occur. And here the person feels empowered. They're not feeling pacified, they're not a passive person receiving counseling or medication. They're acting on their condition. And it's this very active empowerment that creates change. And part of empowerment may be the meditation part, of course, mm-hmm. because that's something they can use to increase their state of empowerment. Incidentally, on a biological level, we have known that with meditation, TM or otherwise, that there are changes in EEG. There are changes in EEG, which is the brainwave activity.
Okay.
And so we see a healthy EEG emerge with meditation. We also see changes occur in chemistry with meditation. So it does fall into a realm that is also measurable, and it's very powerful.
I think it was interesting you mentioned earlier that about how you're able to measure some of these humors, you know, in our body, and how you can control them, as you mentioned, by diet or exercise or, you know, minimal medication.
That's correct.
You know, we're trying to get away from the medication as much as possible, I think, it sounds like.
Well, we're trying to move into the area of self-empowerment, that people can understand the nature of their condition, what needs to be done. For example, people who watch a lot of violent movies are just going to keep that level up there. People who do things that heat the addictions just keep that system fully active. So if we say you got to change that, and these are the things that we can do to make change possible, diet-wise, lifestyle-wise, getting involved in the imperative that we talked about before, learning techniques that have to do with spirituality, which is different from religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a thought process, but it's a doing process. It's, as Jesus said, get into a closet and pray, to feel the inner stillness, however we choose to achieve that.
Okay, we're coming up on another break, and when we come back on the other side, we'd like to have your comments out there. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. We're trying to figure out, how can we help? Do you know somebody out there that needs help? Do you know somebody out there that you think is suicidal? Give us a call. We'll try to help you out. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking about PTSD, transcendental meditation, all types of different treatments for these problems that veterans have when they return. I wanted to give out a phone number here. It's a Veterans Crisis Line. If you know somebody that you think is having trouble or having problems or you think may be suicidal, give this number a call. It's 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255. And then it says press 1. And this is a Veterans Crisis Line, which will get you the ability to talk to someone right away. On our program today is Jerry Yellen, who is responsible for an organization called Operation Warrior Wellness, and that's at operationwarriorwellness.org. And Jerry, how do people contact you directly, or do they go through your website to get some help?
Well, they can contact me directly. They can send me an email, jerry@operationwarrior.wellness.org or jerry@lisco.com. I'll respond to them. They can go to the David Lynch Foundation website. They can go to operationwarriorwellness.org website, and they can contact us.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right. I was going to ask, if I'm in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and can you direct me to someone specifically in this area that can help me out with TM?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Right in your community.
I think that's important. And again, I go back to the idea that the VA is looking, and not necessarily the VA right now, but there are both of you are working with representatives from the VA and trying to get these other programs into the system if possible.
And the government is hard to deal with.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The government has people who believe in what they're doing from the religious side. There are people who think that transcendental meditation is a religion, who it's a cult, and it's none of those things. So, and the government is trying to cut back on money.
Yeah.
We have to look to the citizenships. We have to look to the corporations. I'm working with some very big insurance companies. There's a lot of research that transcendental meditation improves the health care, just as Dr. Eric says. Improves your health care. It improves your health. It takes away stress, which stress causes heart problems. It causes addictive eating. It causes high cholesterol. Stress causes all kinds of problems. And if we can take away stress, you become more healthy. So we're looking to those big insurance companies to do things. We're looking to major funders, major companies who have benefited financially from the 18 years that we've been fighting this war.
Mm-hmm.
Wars are very costly. Wars are very profitable for some people. So we're looking to the citizenry to take care of the citizens. When I fought, 10% of the country fought in World War II. We were 16 million people, fought as soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen. And today we done. And we have to take care of the 1% in a much, much more meaningful manner than we have up until this time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
we've got a caller on the line, and I'm going to kind of preface her question. This is Joan from Dearborn Heights, and Joan's question was that how do we revamp the entire medical system to shy away from prescription drug use?
Well, you can't do that. That's an impossibility. My son is a researcher, scientific researcher, medical doctor. Drugs are about money. Drugs are about making money. And they're in business. There's no altruism in business. They have a mission in life to take care of their shareholders, to make money, and drugs is a big profitable business. It's not going to go away. The lobbyists for these companies are huge. The lobbyists for the military-industrial complex are huge in Washington. You'd have to change the whole political system, and that's not going to happen.
I don't think that's going to work. Terry, Dr. Amberg, you had a comment on that.
Yeah, we are going through evolution. I think the understanding of integrative medicine coming forward will begin to change the orientation. It has done so in some major medical schools, looking at the entire body as opposed to just specific areas. If we do that, then we begin to treat the areas of aberration as opposed to trying to medicate symptoms. If we recognize that symptoms are a message from the body and we try to kill the message, then we miss out on where the message is coming from. And I think there is a change in the medical education of looking at things more integratively.
Mm-hmm. Joan, I know you're on the line, and I know that you are, I think the idea of getting away, especially from the prescription drugs that are strictly for mental problems, would be a great advantage to those people who are taking those drugs, don't you?
Well, I'm just concerned that the medications could repress what Dr. Amberg is saying, that he's trying to get down to the root of what's in the soul and to bring it out. And I think when you're constantly giving drugs to people for decades, how are you going to let these problems surface? And how will you actually really be able to treat them?
I agree. They're shaking her head, and I know Jerry does the same thing. Thanks, Joan, for giving us a call. I know
you're welcome.
Solve the problem, but we're working on it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Amberg, you are working out in Western Michigan with the Michigan National Guard, the TBI, and you mentioned General Faison. Can you tell me a little bit about the program that you're doing with them?
Well, we're trying to develop a program. Actually, it's out here. Using the concept that I've talked about, the integrative medicine, the spirituality, and the mandate to try to help people to move away from this whole concept of mental disorder and to move back into the notion that we are a physical entity with a variety of components. I think the main thing we have to look at is how do we get away. I think the main issue that threatens a great deal of people with PTSD and suicide is the belief that they've got a mental condition that's untreatable and it becomes hopeless. We have to create a sense of empowerment with veterans to recognize that it's not hopeless, that they don't have to continue to feel themselves getting worse and worse to the point of imploding. That's the basic reason why I got into this program 4 or 5 years ago, to try to deal with the whole issue of suicide and to try to create the understanding that it's not a sense of powerlessness, which is what has been created with this counseling and the medications, but to create a notion that they do have power, and that if we begin to work with their sense of power, we can override a very, very difficult condition.
Well, it sounds like both of you, and Jerry, I'm going to go back to you, are talking about self-empowerment and taking control of your own life and your own thoughts.
Yeah, well, I like what the doctor is saying. He's on the right track, but the research has all been done. We have a product. It's maybe not the only product, but it's a very, very, very powerful, good product called Transcendental Meditation.
Well, it sounds like, you know, as you mentioned, that both of you are headed toward the same direction. Let's put it that way, and that you're offering these veterans something that's going to be able to help them, rather than drugging them up and labeling them as you know, whatever they've been labeling them as over the years. And I think, you know, that the TM thing, it sounds fascinating to me, and certainly is something that I'm going to look into. And again, also with Dr. Annenberg, it's got some things that I want to look into also, because I think that both of you have you're pushing that envelope out there and letting people know that there are options.
Well, we have to move away from the idea of patient-doctor and into the notion of student and facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
And however we want to do that, once we get away from the idea that doctor's orders and patient follows, which doesn't work at all, it has to be something where the person is actively involved in their own recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Things happened, a lot of unplanned things that affected the entire system, and people have to know that there is hope out there. There are things that they can do to make a difference, and we have to have facilitators, not doctor's orders, that will help make that difference.
That sounds great. How would people get a hold of you if they needed if they have questions?
Well, they can go to our website, which is, if you Google LRS.
LRS?
Uh-huh. Life Reacclimation Systems. They can go online. It's a website that's being developed. So they can come in there with questions, and we will be able to answer their questions.
Okay. And Jerry, you mentioned how they can get a hold of you through Operation Warrior Wellness.
Yes.
Correct? And I think...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Operation Warrior Wellness, one word, .org. There's a lot of information there.
There's a great amount of information in there, and I really encourage those of you who are looking for different ways of solving problems is to look on their website or go to Amazon and look for Jerry's book, The Resilient Warrior, Healing the Hidden Wounds of War. You can download a chapter from the book, which I did, and it's fascinating, so now I have to go and get another book to read by Jerry Yellen, which is okay, because he's a good writer, and I enjoy what he writes. And I think that Jerry, that you're really on to something, and I wish you the best of luck, and I look forward to seeing you at some of the military writers' meetings, and maybe a little bit sooner than I might have to make a trip back through Fairfield, Iowa.
Oh, come on back. You know, I had a pure purpose in war, as did every soldier, as does every soldier. And now I have a pure purpose in my life at the age of 88 to make sure that the veterans who have stressed out, who have been serving for us America, for all of America, don't go through the 30 years of aggravated life that I went through. That's my pure purpose.
I understand entirely, Jerry. And 8 years ago, we found Veterans Radio for pretty much the same purpose.
There you go.
This is what we do. We want to make sure that these men and women never, ever are left behind again, and that we're going to do everything we can to make sure they get the treatment that they deserve. Thank you very much.
You're doing a great job. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you for being on Veterans Radio.
Okay.
Thank you. Dr. Annenberg, I want to thank you so much for being on Veterans Radio. I know that we want to talk some more again after the program, some of the things that you are interested in doing, what we want to try and do together. But I want to thank you so very much for being on the program and helping us understand what's going on out there.
Thank you very much for this opportunity also. And I really do pray that people who have listened can look at other alternatives.
That's the option, folks. That's what we want you to do on Veterans Radio. Our job is to bring you information the best that we can. That's the program for today. Next week, Dwight Zimmerman's going to be back on again with his At Ease program. So we encourage you to tune in next week to talk with Dwight and his guests. And until then, it's our honor to serve you. You are dismissed.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.